Blog Talk Radio.
Living on the road, my friend, what's gonna keep you free and clean? Now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath's as hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seems. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dreams. Well, Pancho was a bandit, boys. His horse was fast as polished steel. Wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. But Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. And nobody heard his dying words. Oh, but that's the way it goes. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him hang around out of kindness, I suppose. And Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. The dust that Pancho bit down south ended up in Lefty's mouth. The day they laid poor Pancho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. Oh, there ain't nobody knows. And all the federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. Well, the poets tell how Pancho fell and left his living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet and Cleveland's cold, so the story ends, we're told. Pancho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He just did what he had to do. And now he's growing old. A few great federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so wrong out of kindness, I suppose. A few great federales say they could have had him any day. They only let him go so wrong out of kindness, I suppose.
That was Towns Van Zandt, Pancho and Lefty. All right. Anyways, so this is your mother's medicine cabinet. We didn't have a show last week because I was damn sick. So that John Yammer show will be next Wednesday at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. And then we'll return to our regular Monday format. So our guest is out there in Oregon. Let's say Dina Rash Guzman. And we're just going to bring her on now. Hello?
Hey there, Frank.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm sitting in a car in a lightning storm in the mountains of Colorado.
You're in Colorado.
Yeah, I forgot.
That's right. So that's kind of cool, though, that you're in a lightning storm in Colorado.
In a car.
Even better,
I had to drive off so I had a signal to talk to you. So, if you hear the rain, I'm sorry.
No, I can't hear anything but yourself. So, yeah. How is it going in Colorado besides the storm? Just visiting people, having a good time?
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice break from the other countryside that I live in. I went from mountain to mountain. So it's nice. Nice to be with my family.
Right on. So we'll just get right into it. You've got a book coming out with a Dog on a Chain Press over there with the Beasley Barrington character out in North Carolina.
Yeah, him and his coyote are, I think, looking at my manuscript maybe.
So what is the title of the book?
Well, it is now called Life Cycle. I sent him a manuscript called Chairman Mao Praises Me Good at Chat, which was a book of poems about China, where I travel a lot, but I feel like it's not quite ready, and I feel like this other manuscript that I've got going is just a lot better and a lot more solid and fits in a lot better with Dog on a Chain.
Do you have, like, a release date, or since you changed the manuscript, it's going to be later now?
Yeah, it's my fault that it keeps moving back because I keep going, wait, don't read what I sent you. Wait, don't read what I sent you. This I think that he wants to release this in the fall. So I'm just tightening it up and finishing it up. It's called Life Cycle, and every poem in the book is also called Life Cycle.
Yeah, there's a time where I'm working on a book and I'll end up being like, man, and I'll have to drag it back for my publisher because I wrote something that should probably go in it, but I don't know. After a while, I think they want to shoot you in the foot or something, the publisher.
I'm pretty sure that Mr. Barrington has wanted to shoot me in both of my feet on more than one occasion. So, yeah.
All right. So why don't you give us one of your poems from anything you want, or somebody else?
Well,
you said you wanted to read a couple others too. Whatever you want.
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't mind reading one by you that
by
I
me.
Pulled
oh.
off the internet. Yeah, I pulled off the internet the other day. I like this one. It's a little different from what, I've read pretty much everything I could ever get my hands on that you've written. We've known each other for so long now. And, I've been following your work. But this is something you just threw up the other night, and I really liked it. It's a little different. It's a lot like my aesthetic. It's really spare, but it's really pretty, and I really like it. It's called Two Oak Geisha.
Okay.
All right, so it goes, Two Oak Geisha, gently silhouetted by the midlight lamp of the moon, one twisting and turning the shadows through the thinness of her arches, the other glowing, as undressed ladies often do.
Yeah, so that's the softer side of me.
yeah. But you know, it's soft, but it's a little dirty. I mean, you're talking about naked trees.
Yeah, I was hoping that people would understand that was trees, so I kind of made it obvious by throwing the word oak in there. There's these, two trees that I'm always in the park hiking around in, and they just, I don't know, just came to my head. There's two trees I always stared at, but in the past I was always, too drunk or something to notice them, but now that, I don't drink whiskey or wine anymore, I kind of noticed them, and I don't know, just kind of popped in my head. But, yeah, thanks for reading it.
No more whiskey or wine, huh?
For the time being, yeah. I mean, I still drink beer. I can't miss out on the beers. The beer never had the effect on me that, after doing a lot of fucked up things and being nearly half dead, I was kind of like, it's probably time to stop drinking whiskey. But
it sounds
wine,
good idea. Yeah, I think I'm all right on whiskey, but other people tell me that that's not the case. I don't know.
Well, I used to be, but it ended up becoming my version of a junkie to a heroin. Just nothing good ever came out of it. So I don't know. Wine is just something I stopped for now. I know it's healthy and all if you drink it in moderation, but if I drink it, I'll end up wanting to drink whiskey. So beer never had that effect. I can get a good buzz and enjoy myself.
It's funny because one night about 4 years ago, you called me, or you didn't call me, I'm sorry. We're talking now, so I was thinking of phone calls. You actually sent me a message out of the blue, an email, I guess, and it just said, Dear Dina, I want you to pour a whiskey, put on some Hank Williams, open the window, and write a poem and let me know what happens. And it took me a long time to do it because I lived in the desert then, and, you know, you don't open your window that time of year or you get baked. But when I finally did it, I actually wrote a poem, and it's going into Life Cycle.
You could read it if you'd like.
Sure. It's called By Stars. The truth of you and me, mouth on mouth, tongue to tongue, I stay over in a second-hand shirt in pants your sister gave me. The fasteners of modesty, undone by night's long fingers, we revere that dark beauty skin, a sky tattooed by stars.
Right on. I'm glad that my old whiskey addiction could inspire some writing for you.
You said it did nothing good ever came out of it. But,
So like in a year or two, I'll just like email you and say, Dear Dina, drink a Newcastle ale.
Or else you'll be out in the health kicking and be like, Dear Dina, drink a kombucha.
So we'll just get into the, the purpose of this, like, even though I know the answers, I'm going to ask you because you have to tell the listening audience anyways yourself. So tell us about your, I published a poem with you, I don't know, like a year ago maybe, or last fall or something. Tell us about your, like, online little magazine thing you got going on.
Sure. Unshot Quills, I'll say it slowly because it's a weird name. We call it UQ, but Unshot Quills. I started that a year ago, a little over a year ago. And the reason I started it was because I was hosting a writer's group, and that was also called Unshot Quills. And I have a bunch of different writers in it of all different levels, you know, some with major publishing credits and some people who really hadn't written at all in 20 years, if at all. Some people who write regularly and some people who don't, but they're all people who I've talked about poetry with or literature with or writing or books with, whose aesthetic that I liked. And I just wanted to set up a weekly writers group, and it's just online because my friends are super far-flung. And just, you know, set a theme out and say, you guys write on this, you know, two poems a week, two short stories a week, whatever, photographs, art, whatever you want to do. And I was seeing some really amazing work from people who had never been published before. I mean, just really good work. And so I thought, well, why don't we make a little, you know, online literary journal? And so we did, and it's been pretty amazing. It's been a really good experience. We published all kinds of people from, again, all backgrounds. You know, some are really well-known, and some have never been published before. In the next issue, we're publishing a 16-year-old girl. She's just amazing. Her work is just amazing. I don't know how these people find me sometimes. Sometimes they're my friends. Sometimes they're friends of friends. Sometimes they just find the journal and read it. Maybe some people just stock it out through Duotrope. I don't know. But it's been really exciting. We're getting ready to do our first book. We're going to publish a book by a girl named Jenny Hayes out of Seattle. And it's basically an epistle, a sort of it's in a form of an epistle. It's like a letter from a junior high girl to her friend, and she's moved away, and she's writing about David Bowie and how much she loves David Bowie. And we're going to have it illustrated by an artist also out of Seattle, and we're going to make it ourselves, and hopefully find some distribution for it. I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to do that. So I'm excited about that.
Is this going to be something that you guys are going to do like a couple of times a year, or is it just like one book and seeing how it goes?
I would really like to put out something on paper at least twice a year. It's a lot. I was shocked by how much work running a literary journal really is. I have a co-editor now named Wendy Ellis, and she's pretty much the reason, honestly. If I look back to the reason that I decided to publish this journal, and it's been a lot more successful than I ever anticipated it being. It's pretty well read and popular. And Wendy Ellis, she's my co-editor, and I basically started it because I was like, this girl should be published. This woman should be publishing her work somewhere. And then I have a fiction editor now, and his name is Brian Tibbetts, and he's a friend of mine in Portland. And I have an art editor. I have a Holly Hinkle and a copy editor named Donald Riley, and he's a friend of mine from Las Vegas. I would really like to see us go to paper once a year, sort of like an annual paper edition of Unshod Quills, and then, you know, publish a book or two a year. I'd really like to see that happen.
Right on. So that's a good thing. Hold on a second. If anybody wants to call, you can. The phone lines are open. I'm going to take a shot at Jeffrey out there, who usually does call in and ask questions. Make sure it's not the last 3 minutes of the show. But anyway, so if anyone does want to call in, you can. Anyways, so why don't you give us another one of your poems out of your book there. Was it called again, Life Cycles?
Life Cycle.
Okay.
I didn't really have any more. Here's something. Actually, I took requests today. I asked my friends, I'm like, what do you guys want to hear me read? So my friend Ryan Werner, who's coming out with his first book from Jersey Devil Press, he's got a book of short stories coming out, I think pretty soon here. I know he's finished with it, and I've seen the cover. I'm really excited for him. He wanted me to read this. It's called Checklist. Here it is. Deal with the man, get snubbed. Define the short version of a long hoax. He's a heavy load, I'm a faulty wheel. The burden of my body on his ego. The burden of his ego on my body. Repair my bike, make it purr. I'm a pioneer, motherfucker. Pack it up and move along. Be deadly for one entire day. Stop at the roadside, eat a salad. Shoot at interlopers and scare them off. Use suburban words to express country concepts, dare to allow the years to pile up. Dare not to die, not today. Pull over, consider the audacity. Decide to eat kale hot dogs. Remember the man, lose my appetite. Memorize Molly Bloom's soliloquy, recite it to the stars. Call shenanigans, call a friend. Tell him he's charming, but hard to read. Tell him he's like James Joyce. Tell him yes instead of no. Tell him everything has changed. Tell him to tell me what he knows. Tell him charming is for waiters. Tell him he'll have to wait and wait for him to wait. Forget who's waiting, grow drowsy. Set the alarm, go to sleep cold, 33 degrees.
Nice, you're a pioneer, motherfucker.
Damn right. Damn straight. I live on a farm. I live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, on 60 acres in the middle of nothing. I'm a pioneer.
I wish I had a freaking farm in the middle of nowhere, but we got a caller. And I don't know. I don't know this area code, so let me try to get them on again. Hello, who's this?
This is Meg Tewitt. How you doing, Frank?
Oh, hi. What's going on, Meg?
I'm just loving you both. I love you, Dina, and I love you, Frank, and I just had a call in, and I got in a little bit late, so I wanted to just say, Dina, I'm so excited that you're on here, and I've really been enjoying hearing your poetry, and I wanted to say I'm so thankful that you have your magazine out because it rocks.
Thank you. I'm so glad we got to share your work on it.
I was so excited to be a part of it. I'm really excited to be a part of it. And I hope that you get to do like a print magazine every year. That would be really awesome.
Yeah, I hope so. We're giving it a shot.
Yeah, I know it costs a lot of money, and that's always the hard part in printing and trying to get things together. It's always the cash, you know?
It is. It's the blind leading the blind into it, too, but I'm excited.
Yeah. And I just wanted to ask you again, what is the name of the the book that you're reading from, because I don't know that. I missed the beginning of the program, and so I wanted you to just bring it up again so that I could get a copy of it.
Oh, sure. It's not done yet. It's not published yet. One of the poems I read tonight is from a book that I have forthcoming from Dog on a Chain Press out in North Carolina, and it's called Life Cycle. And I'm hoping to have another book published this year or next year, too, called Chairman Mao Praises Me Good at Chat. But I got to make sure it's ready. I think I'm neurotic.
I think we're all neurotic. Are you friggin' kidding? If you're a writer,
we're
you're
writers.
Fucking neurotic. Hello. I don't know if I can say the F word, but sorry. But if Frank's here, I think that it's okay, but I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, you can swear all you want.
Is that okay? Because I really like to. I like it. It just comes out automatically. What can I tell
you? I just
you, Frank?
Said I'm a pioneer motherfucker, so you can say fucker. Fuck.
That's right. You did. You did. And
I'm
I love
so excited
that
you called. I love your voice.
I'm just so happy to hear from you. I was so excited when I saw you were on. I just got on Facebook, and I've been sort of hiding from Facebook because, you know, it's a freak ass situation, as we all know. And, but I love Frank's program, so I try to catch it when I can. And so I was just really happy when I saw that you were on there, and I just wanted to call in and say I love you both. So
we love
you
too.
Yes, I'm a fan. Frank knows I'm a fan of his. I bought I buy everything he writes, and I will buy everything you write as well because I'm a fan of yours as well. So I was really psyched to.
When the show's over, if you want, like at any time, you can catch the parts that you missed. It will go directly into archive.
I know. That's how I got to hear April when I, because I had missed part of April and you, and of course I wanted to hear her as well. And that's how I got to go back. I went back and I got the beginning of it, but I wanted to get on. And then when you were saying somebody always calls in and you're like, if he calls in the last damn 3 minutes, so I was like, oh, shit, I got to call now. I was afraid I'd miss you both. So I just wanted to say I adore you both. And it's such a great program. And I'm just really happy to hear some of your poetry, Dana. It's friggin' awesome. Awesome.
Thanks, Meg. You're
thank
a great
you.
Editor, too. I love all your work. I love everything you do. Thank you.
Thank you. I wish I was a poetry editor so you could send me some of your stuff. If you have any fiction, now you know. And Frank, you know too. But Frank and I have done a few things together, but with his poetry, where I begged him for it, and he actually gave it to me. I was so thankful. But Dana, sometime, somehow, we're going to...
Actually,
gonna
I have some
together.
Short stories I could send you, just off the key.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Frank.
I did too, but I
cry
with my fiction.
Do you have
send
some
him some
fiction?
Short stories over. It's comical fiction.
Oh, my God. I
want
to hear from both of you. I want to hear from both of you. I'd be so excited if you sent to me. Connotation Press, baby. Send it home. Send it home. I don't want to keep the line up, but I love you guys, and I look forward to hearing more of your poetry, Dana. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your amazing unshod quills. I just love your magazine, so...
Thank you.
And Frank, a big hug to you, because I think you're amazing too, as you know. So anyway, I just wanted to call in.
All right, thank you for calling.
And you guys have a great rest of the weekend. I don't even know what day. Is it Monday? Well, see,
it's
now
Monday,
that's
man.
How many writers
we don't know
tonight? Let's guess how many beers Meg has had tonight. Anyway.
I'm having one now. Cheers.
Yes, please. IPA, that's what I have, okay? That's my deal. Anyway, I adore you both, and thank you so much for letting me chat with you for a while.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Have
take
a good
care.
One.
Bye.
Yep.
You too. Bye.
I think Meg had some good beer tonight.
Yeah, I had some good beer last night. I'm a little rough today.
So, why don't you give Meg one of your poems, because she wants to hear one.
Meg, this poem is called The Divide, and this is another request from Ryan Werner. where is it? I'm sorry, there I found it. The Divide. We are not wealthy. No gems stitched into my hands. No gold, no booty, no dinner. Nobody here was ever shanghaied. Seafaring, I'd sink. I'm 10,000 tons of lead. When my ship arrives, it'll be full of alien life, eyes as weapons, crop circle tattoos. Mom. The tattoos will represent mom or anchors. Aliens love anchors and moms. The ink will color us burnt sienna. We'll be dead. A bomb too big to comprehend once blasted. No one will be left to remember it. We should look harder before it's too late. I'm broke and unhinged. I'm grave digger dirty. Poor as a skinned raccoon. Fat carton of spoiled milk. Flat-footed cop waddling in chase. Criminal on the roof. Come down. I can't give up now. I can't afford the ticket.
Nice. You're a pioneer, motherfucker. I'm just going to call you the pioneer from now on.
That's cool. I wrote that poem after I watched the movie Signs for the, 9 millionth time.
Don't lie. You wrote it after you watched the Grizzly Adams series.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the question that I ask everybody. And,
all right.
I don't know why this became the question I ask everybody, but since a lot of us meet or have met on the internet or we found readings through the internet, published, things like that, what is your take on, do you find the internet more useful or more useless?
Oh, it's incredibly useful. Anybody who thinks it's not must live on a planet I don't live on. I just don't have that perspective. It's incredibly useful. You can find anything you want to read on the internet. You can learn about new writers, emerging writers.
Yeah. You don't have to say, I can go, find the news on the internet. I meant that as in pertaining to literature or publishing or not.
Sure. I think it's really important to publishing. I certainly know more about what's going on and what people are writing than I would without it. I mean, I live in Portland now. So I'm pretty well connected. It's definitely a center in the it's a planet in the cosmos of independent literature, which is probably what we're really talking about. I could stay connected without it, I suppose. But it's definitely useful. I mean, it's how I've met so many of you.
Well, it must be good if you want to do a reading in Portland and you're out on your farm and you need to find out or if, you sign a publisher. I would assume.
Well, yeah, of course. I definitely need it to stay connected. I could without it, but I need it. And it brings people together in real life as well. I mean, you just went on a big tour, didn't you? We met all kinds of people.
Well, no, I've been on I did a reading that lasted a week out in according to San Francisco last month with a bunch of people. I did three readings in that area, but I didn't go on tour. But wait, we do have another caller from I think this might be New England. Hold on. You're on with Dina.
Hey, it's Ryan Werner.
Oh,
it's Ryan Werner.
I wanted to call and say that Dina's doing great, and I wish she hadn't read the two poems before I called, because now I kind of feel like a dick being on here mentioned three times. But I did
you
have
are
a
dick.
I did have a. I know. I'm very sorry. But I did have a legit question that I could ask you anytime, but I think would be useful for everyone else to know, too. But I've read Chairman Mao, and so I'm familiar with all those poems, but there's definitely a sense of place that's very important throughout that whole series of poems. But with Life Cycle, is there a sense of place that's important in there? Because I know that Nevada was, the Las Vegas area was really important, and now Portland and everything. So, is a sense of place a theme that runs through the poems in Life Cycle?
No, it's totally homeless. It's a bunch of homeless poems that sort of just reflect the beginning and the end of something, maybe a bag of chips or a talk with my mom or a book or a love affair or something like that. Like every poem is completely not related to each other, except for there's a definitive beginning and end. And yes, I'm going to ask you to look at it. Ryan went over Chairman Mao and worked on it really hard and really hard. He worked on it really hard with me, and now I'm sort of setting it aside to work on it more. I'm just sort of condensing it, Ryan. I'm cutting out all the
fat. I believe
that.
You. That's okay. I've got wrestling to watch anyways, so it's not like I'm really. That's why I'm glad to start it at 10 when wrestling got over, so I could tune in then. I didn't have to wait for anything to happen, so it was okay.
Frank, if you ever need an editor, wait, I want to say this, Ryan. Frank, if you ever need an editor, Ryan's a tough guy. He read one of my poems and he said, you know, Dina, I don't like this. If I learned anything from watching wrestling, it's that fake heat ain't no heat at all.
It's no good.
Cheap heat, yeah. Yeah,
cheap heat. You can't just go out in the city that you're in and wear the jersey of the opposing city's sports team, and then get booed. Because you're getting booed and you're getting a bunch of heat, but it's cheap heat and it's not worth anything. It doesn't mean anything when you go to the next town. So you want something that's going to matter when you're, you know, touring on the road with your wrestling.
I agree. It's not something that anybody could do, right?
Wrestling? I was pretty good in the backyard.
I want
okay,
to see
this
you
is
going to
be ridiculous. Why stay on? You don't. I'm like 140 pounds. It's really not good. My wrestling name was Justin Sane. Like, because you say it fast, it's, yeah, okay.
I get it.
Yeah, of course you get it. Everyone gets it. I was 14. Don't hold that against me. All right, you're doing a great job. I'm going to hang up now. Have a great night. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay, I think we're down to, like, 14 minutes, so I'm just going to have you get this stuff out there now, and then we'll, like, get into the other stuff. Like, if someone's listening here for, like, the first time, and they're really, like, digging what you do, I mean, how can they find you? Like, stuff that you might have published or, you know, that way.
I have a website. I have a writer's website, which I really didn't want to put together, but I finally did, and I'm glad because I can direct people to it, and it's just DinaRashGuzman.com, or they could just go to Unshod Quills, Google my name. I don't have anything much on paper. I've got, you know, poems and various anthologies and short stories in various anthologies. I have a poem coming out in an anthology called The People's Apocalypse, and Jenny Forrester in Portland and Ariel Gore are putting that out, and that's next. I've got a few things coming out, and I have quite a few things out already, including from my publisher in China, Hal Publishing. It's an English language press that I work for as managing director, and I've been published by them 3 times.
That's cool. Cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody out there in the listening world should get, when her books come out, should get Dina's stuff and look for her because she's a fucking pioneer.
Pioneer motherfucker.
And she knows wrestlers.
That's insane.
But why don't you give us another poem?
All right. I will read to you a poem called To Tim Who Nearly Died Today. I don't know how y'all do this. I know that you write fiction now, too, and I know that you've written a lot of poetry, and I know your aesthetic. I remember you once telling me if it doesn't make you laugh and cry at the same time, it's not for you. And see, Frank, you've had an influence on me. You just didn't know it. I was listening. But a lot of my poems aren't, they're not about me, really, or about anything that I've done. A lot of them are, but, I mean, to me, poems are little stories, just little tiny stories. This poem absolutely happened completely, and I will read it to you. It's probably self-explanatory. I don't often write about writing, but on this day I did. It's called To Tim, Who Nearly Died Today. I've had all my life to compose these little poems. Sun like a vowel, pancakes and departure, a dawn of truth, farewell at the door, bus after car. It goes on, it goes on. every day like coffee, plain as black, no cream. Each light, each blue, every leaf I've seen comes on, barely green, to burn away its new, to its last time on the line as fire, gold, red, orange, down to nothing but a gray plea for anything again. But Tim, it was you before the fire that never came, gap-toothed grin, an axe in hand, chopping away the blackberries until you dropped in a grip of fierce heart-killing pain, carried by Billy to the doctor, and then by the ambulance to the hospital in the rain. It was you who prevented me from spoiling the paper with any more mixed metaphor or misplaced assonance. This is the nature of sudden dissonance. The sun is unlike a vowel. Black coffee is anything but plain. That last breath that came again at the restart of your heart is the only poetry this day, come pancakes or departure, can rightly proclaim.
Is that a life cycle poem?
It probably should be. I wrote it, a fire was coming. You know, I live, like I said, in the middle of nowhere, and it seemed like a fire was coming because I've never been surrounded by so much smoke before, and it was barreling down the river gorge and right up onto the bluff that our farm sits on. And I was inside hiding from the smoke, and I decided, you know, to use that time to write poems. It was a beautiful summer day last year. And I looked outside, and our groundskeeper, Tim, was outside, you know, cutting back branches and blackberries from around the fence and around the houses, you know, just to make sure that if the fire came that we had a better chance of not burning up. And the next day, he had a massive heart attack, and he almost died. And it just really got to me. I sometimes I feel like being a writer is just, It's beautiful, but sometimes I feel like I look at people like Tim, and maybe he writes too. I don't know. I know he operates ham radio, but I don't know if he writes. You know, he's got hobbies. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, this guy's out there, you know, trying to save all our lives to the point that, you know, he practically drops dead, and I'm sitting in here, you know, worrying about my villanelle. So I had to write about him.
Is he operating ham radios to this day at the moment?
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, he's got these wires strung up into these 150-foot tall pine trees, and he's pretty awesome.
That's
a pretty
cool.
Awesome guy.
Right on. That's, you know, some pretty cool characters in the world. Ham radio operators, wrestlers.
I do.
It's a good thing to know all those types of people. So how did the whole entire, like, Asia bid come about? I know you've been out there a few times.
Yeah, I've been going there for years, and I met a group of writers. I went to a writer's group and got to know the founder, and he ended up establishing a you know, I One-Shot Quills is totally, totally inspired by HAL Publishing. They had the writers group. They would write on themes. I completely took their model and, you know, made it my own thing. They have a website, www.halliterature.com. And I just started working with them and publishing with them. And Bjorn Wallström is the founder, and he's from Sweden, and he writes in English and publishes in English in China. And W.M. Butler is the creative director, and they just really involved me in the process. And when the first book came out, I was lucky enough to know Kevin Samsell, who does small press publishing at Powell's, and he took our book and put it on the shelf, our book all the way from China. And we were really encouraged by that. And since then, you know, I've found some success with them there. You know, nothing really huge or anything, but they're really good to work with.
Wherever you can publish, it don't matter. Like, some of the best writers could only find, like, their success in Europe or wherever else. I mean, America, you know, there's a lot of writers and a lot of, like, books that sell. But, you know, working at bookstores in my past, I noticed that what sells is you know, the Pulp Fiction kind of like, I don't know if it's Pulp Fiction necessarily, but, you know, the John Grisham kind of stuff. And if you can publish a poem or a book in Denmark or China, I say do it. Like, you know, so some of like the most people that buy my book outside of America for myself is like Australia.
You really?
Know, pretty
You're
cool.
big in Australia?
Yeah. No, I don't know if I'm big in Australia, but I mean, like, for independent press people that are, like, you know, most of my sales outside of America do come in from Australia. And you know what? If this is freaking Jeffrey at the last 4 minutes, I'm going to freaking slug him. All right, you got another caller.
All right.
Yeah, hi, Frankie. Sorry to give you the two-minute warning. It's Jeff in Boston. How are you?
I'm all right. Did you hear my cry a half an hour ago? Jeffrey,
oh,
call
I know
in
it.
Earlier.
I know it, but I was
you got a question?
Poetry. Yeah, I'll real quick. Yeah,
okay.
I do. Real quick, I'll throw it out there. Dina, nice job, nice work. The question I had to you is, I think the last work you read was a Villanelle, am I correct? Was it a Villanelle?
No, it wasn't, but I do love to write Villanelles. I really do. It's my favorite form.
It is your favorite form, and that's what I was going to lead to. Do you find that form frees you creatively, or do you find that it restricts you? And I'll just get off the phone now.
Sure. No, it frees me. I like to write. It's sort of, I guess one could compare it to, I don't know, bondage maybe. I don't know. I mean, some people find great freedom in restriction, and I do. But I have a lot of half finished villanelles too, where I'm like, you know, the form is taking over what I have to say. I have a lot of half finished ones, but it's my favorite form, and I do. I find great creativity within it. I love it. I like the restriction.
Great. Yeah, it helps the creativity sometimes. Yeah. Dylan Thomas, right? Yeah, but anyways, go ahead.
Yes.
We will. You will call in earlier next time. We're down to 3 minutes, and I have to cut you off.
Hi, Jeff.
Jeffrey.
Take care, Frank. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So that is, no, Jeffrey's a really cool guy. I think he's called into almost about every show. And
his smart question.
It's sort of a, what's that?
He has smart questions. I like that question.
Yes. I myself am not a huge fan of form, but as this show is, it's to bring all different types of writers and people together. That's not really the point of the show, but, you know, different things and different forms. More of a free verse person myself, but, you know, I do appreciate, you know, other forms. Don't get me wrong. I just don't write them. But Jeffrey does ask that question. So it was pretty cool. But anyways, so we are down to the last 2 minutes. So,
all right.
Would you like to read a poem, or would you just like to talk? Because either way, it's
sure. I'll read a poem that James. Just real quick, a poem that James H. Duncan published in Hobo Camp Review.
Okay.
It's called "Smoke Over Rice Patties." There is no release, but this image does not require a release. You're seated quietly beside me in the car, politely carrying my carry-on in your carry-on. This image nearly is my release, a rush of rain down the roof of a swanky little hut, and the love in your eyes as you called me a slut. I eye the world outside the car's window, the horizon wading down the ribbon of road, rushing under the wheels. The driver's head is steady and thick with black hair. He points to the rice harvest with a gangster's bejeweled grace. Smoke over the fields. Would you like to stop for a photo? It's too late. I'm drawn. The last word is.
Awesome. Well, it was awesome to have you on.
It was awesome to have you on and finally talk to you after all this time.
And I'll see you out in the virtual world at some point.
You're going to be coming to Portland to give a reading one day, and we're going to hang out. I'm going to set up a reading for you, Frank.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
We'll do that. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Yep. That was Dina Rash Guzman. You can find her. This is what she said. Last week's show got canceled, like I said, because I was sick, and it was going to be John Yarmus, but he'll be on this Wednesday on a special night only. We usually do the shows on Monday. It'll be at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific.
And the show will be back at its regular time the following Monday at 11 Eastern. And I believe it's Rebecca Shimada. But I don't know. Thank you for listening. Whatever.